So now it is my pleasure to hand the microphone over to today's presenter, Dr. Xinling McQuaid, and she'll continue with today's presentation. Xinling?
Thank you, Alice. Thank you for coming to the presentation. Well, the China is my research area, which is far away from Canada. So after my presentation, if you have any question regarding to China, even if not directly relate to today's presentation, you are welcome to ask. So now I start my presentation. The title of the presentation is The New Generation of Chinese Women in the Age of Internet. Since Internet was introduced into China in 1995, it has developed rapidly. American journal PC World announced that in 2009, China has a total 338 million Internet users, surpassing any country across the world, along with a swift increase of Internet users. We have witnessed the narrowing down of gender gap in Internet usage. China Internet Network Information Center reported that the percentage of female users reached over 46% in 2008. The youth under the age of 35 accounted for 82% of the total users in 2004. So next one is the paper's introduction. But a number of researchers have emphasized the significance of Internet as a cyberspace where the absence of physical bodies allows users to project some kind of visual self online. This visual identity is able to be free of the constraints of the physical identity of the users in terms of gender, age, profession, sexuality, and the race, because in virtual world, you are whoever you say you are. For instance, this scholar said, she said, in virtual identity, mind and body, female and male, gay and straight, don't seem to be such natural opposition anymore, or even natural categories to assign to people. This possibility of separating visual self from physical self seems to have allowed many to see a potential for women to achieve things online that are denied to them in the real world. There is articles talking about how a women's group in South Asia, which has been forced to remain invisible and oppressed in real life, gained a presence and a voice online, talking about how World Wide Web has turned people into global citizens by breaking down the category, the geographical barrier. Susan Lee Starr, she dismisses the distinction between visual identity and the real world identity as a false, talking about how World Wide Web has turned people into global citizens by breaking down the geographic barrier. Susan Lee Starr, she has, we are seeing revitalization of society. The framework is being redesigned from the bottom up. A new, more democratic world is becoming possible. Some other scholars, however, are not overly optimistic. To these scholars, Internet brought both promise and peril to women. Female political activists are able to mobilize support worldwide through Internet. However, they are facing online threats as well. Female Internet users have instant access to a huge amount of information. They can share their problems with similar people whom they might otherwise not meet in real world and are able to join online therapeutic groups. These women, however, need to be cautious because online information could be misleading and online discussion could lead to flame and harassment. Scholars have discovered gender differences in web language, web usage, and web designing, as well as web designing. So Lisa Jin, my colleague, she sees online as the life online as an extension of life offline. She dismisses the distinction between visual identity and the real world identity as a false dichotomy. She calls for study on how the real and the visual constitute each other with regard to gender. Following the same line of thinking and also draw upon the sociology scholarship that highlights the significant role of media in shifting social values. This paper examines the women pages created, owned, and run by four main Chinese commercial websites. They are most important commercial websites in today's China. So here, one is Sino.com. One website is called Sina.com. Another one is Sohu.com, NetEase.com, and QQ.com. They all maintain women page catered to female university students and white collar office workers who constitute the largest portion of female internet population. So I go through those web page very quickly so you can get a sense of this is the first one. You can see the fashion, cosmetic, and movie stars, they dominate the female pages. They teach people how to make, teach women how to make wear the makeup, how to shopping. This is the this one. Next one is they are very similar. They are very similar, and they use many foreign models. Is the next one. The very similar. You don't see much difference. Okay. We go back here. So this swimming page. in today's China, in contrast to social values, popular and the Mao Zedong regime that praised simplicity and plainness. Well, now physical attractiveness and the lustrous appearance became very important for women's success, both in marriage and career. All the female web page and the discussion lay great emphasis on topics such as cosmetic, fashion, beauty, diet. Stories illustrated by movie stars, our high-profile models teach young women to dress up, take care of skin, shop cosmetic, wear makeup, and lose weight. This is a well-known Chinese movie star. She postured for fashion page. And next one. Okay. Here. They use the foreign Western model to show how a slender body figure is very important for women. And those are, they offer online makeup class to young women, teach women how to wear makeup. Well, mass media, both print magazines and online materials are seen as major players in bringing about conceptual shifts regarding to femininity and masculinity. For instance, in Japan, men were traditionally valued by their intelligence and work ethics. However, in today's Japan, the young men largely agree men's physical looks are very important because there are so many magazines and targeted at well, men who talk about those are fashion, hair, cosmetic magazines. And another investigation conducted in Netherlands also show young people using sexually explicit internet materials very often, more likely to believe women to be sexual objects. So those sociology theories emphasize on the major role played by media in changing people's opinion. They not only reflect people's opinion, but also they're changing people's opinion. And the social comparison theory also states, even for the individuals who don't seek to compare themselves with others, when they see the idealized images in advertisement frequently, they may begin to make comparisons. Young women are especially prone to the influence of the gorgeous images in the mass media. For instance, this page published a survey on public opinion on female beauty, which is conducted in Guangzhou City in spring 2010. Well, in total, over 18,000 internet users participated in the survey, of whom females accounted for 88%. Over 60% of informants believed physical attractiveness is very important for their success in work, both in work and personal life. Over 37% believe it's important, and only less than 2% deny its significance. About 60% of respondents announced their willingness to go through cosmetic surgery to improve their appearance. Now in China, well, the cosmetic surgery, those clinics are many, and in Asia, there are many, and many young girls, they are the patient clients, not the older women. So next one, this is the number one beauty selected by the judges of the page, of the winning page. Next part is about women, female university students trading love for money. So women page, like encyclopedia, displays many dazzling items to meet young women's various needs. They gossip about celebrities, marriage, love affair, and divorce, helping readers kill time. They discuss the problems young women encounter, teaching internet users to date, to plan for wedding, to decorate room, to cook, to guide along with in-laws, and to end a failed marriage. They also function as a forum, inviting experts and ordinary readers to voice their opinions on many topics concerning young girls. In March 2010, a survey on the relation between money and marriage attracted many female webpages' attention. In March 2010, Women Association of Guangzhou Municipality conducted a survey among female university students at 10 universities and colleges in the region, focusing on their opinion on marriage. Out of, in total, less than 1,000 informants, nearly 60% expressed their desire of marrying to a wealthy family. They said in this way, well, they can obtain the material comforts such as house and a car immediately, for which things other women may need to work hard for a long time. So This web page covers the survey under the title, The Female University Students Who Want to Marry Into the Wealthy Families Are Not Snobbish. They simply have no other alternatives. So this title will show the attitude of the web page. After the report, an article by an anonymous author appeared. This article, use a very assertive and bold tone. The article refers female students as high-quality goods in marriage market that are in great demand. They are not materialistic-minded, but simply want to own a house to shelter themselves from wind and rain. The house should be provided by men who are much stronger than women. So, in today's China, however, the article said, a male university student is impossible to purchase a house unless he's from a wealthy family. The unequal society has forced female university students to obtain a secured life relying on their natural resources, sexuality. University education further improved their quality. So the article asks the audience, please don't accuse women snobbish and mean. Everyone has right to seek for a better life for herself. The heaven will condemn you if you don't live for yourself. So this is an ideological hybrid, of Chinese traditional view of marriage and Western individualism, of feminist conception of women bodies liberation and the patriarchal opinion of women's economic dependency, of modern education as dowry. This kind of view is popular among educated young women and seem to be tolerated by the society. So now in the Chinese society, maybe even more tolerated if compared with Canada, maybe is more tolerant and ambiguous about those things, about the morality, about culture, about those social issues. Well, I believe. So in today's China, the majority of young women apparently agree to marry a good husband is more important than to have a good career. The old saying, the worst mistake for a man to make is to choose the wrong career, and for a woman is to marry a wrong man, is accepted social values. Some female university students have jokingly claimed they would rather marry a selfish and a rich old man than to marry a young man without material means. Most female students believe love and marriage are two separate issues. The next part is Korean women with business things and the traditional family values. Well, female pages tell internet users glamour, appearance, intelligence, and good business things are important, not only for getting a wealthy husband, but also for a successful career. For instance, womensohu.com maintains a column entitled Women Make History. I will show you quickly. Here, this is this one. You can see this section is here. This is a column called Women Make History. Well, I show you from the number one. Most they cover are very beautiful looking, and the artists, our dancers, singers. This is a fashion designer. The cover, fashion designer, and the next one. They are public figures, very successful in terms of not only in their career, but they also can make material, they make material gains. They make a lot of money. This is an economist. This is a scholar. Next one. I just show you everyone here. This one is this is an artist. He makes sculptures. Well, not only those women are beautiful, intelligent, but also have business things. Okay. Oh, I will talk about that one later. I will talk more about this one. This is a university professor. This one is I will talk to. Talk a little more. Very few, though now is very different China. There is no workers, no people who do the, see this one, oh, this is the exception of the rule. She is a journal who works for, she's an editor. She works for a non-government organization. This is one very few exception. Well, this one, you see, this is a dancer. This is a dancer. And I go through. This one, I think this one is, what is this one? This one is a beauty queen. This is a beauty queen. And, but those, they are foreigners, I don't show you. I just show you the Chinese. They are famous. They are good looking. They are photographer. This is a photographer. And also very success in terms of business, in terms of the business. And this one, let me see. Oh, this one is a supermodel. Has international fame. Supermodel. She is successful in international stage. International stage. Okay, this one, I didn't select, I just go through everyone here. This one is a gymnast. She does, I think she win the Olympic Games, some medals. And maybe this one is a singer. So we can see the focus of the of those winning page. She's a singer. Also became well known internationally. Well, now I go back to my presentation. Okay. I'm here. Okay, now I just select a few. We'll talk a little more. But this one her name is Liu Peiqi. She came from wealthy family and earned double degrees in electronic engineering and computing science at MIT, one of the most prestigious universities in the United States. She reportedly held a number of high-ranking management posts in companies at Silicon Valley before starting her own enterprise in China. Her company is an environmental protection organization. However, she ran it as a business and become very successful. And she took picture with Clinton. And this one is, she was an actress in China and then became, worked for, she worked at United Nations New York headquarters. Then she became a high-profile businesswoman after introducing a mass media corporation into China and turning MTV award ceremony into a well-known entertainment trademark. She was elected as a cover figure of Fortune magazine in 2001. As successful as they are, those public figures refuse to be seen as strong women. Strong women is a negative, has very strong negative meaning in China. They lay great emphasis on their family, according to the column. For instance, this is a university professor. She is called the legendary woman in the Central Kingdom because her TV talks on Confucius have moved millions of Chinese, bring her material gains, and also turning her into a famous public figure. When asked how she balanced her career and family, her reply gave teaching the least significance. She said, "I'm a mother, wife, and daughter first of all, and then I am a university professor." Well, it's very difficult to decide the sincerity of her answer. What we can be sure is her emphasis on family conforms to the public expectations of a woman in today's China, no matter how successful she is. Next one is, she is a well-known reporter at Phoenix TV channel, which is based in Hong Kong. She interviewed quite many political leaders across the world and risked her life in various occasions. In 2003, when the U.S. military bombed Baghdad, she was the only female Chinese reporter remained in the city. And when she asked the same question about career and family, she said, "If you asked me the question several years ago, I would give work the first priority. But now I say family is the most important thing in my life." So it's similar. The women page, they have marriage counselors. Oh, they may have fake name and fake images. Well, they talk very similar things. For instance, this is a marriage counselor. Well, she has a blog. Well, then she states, her blog states, it's women who should be responsible for family happiness. If a family has problems, the wife takes 80% of the responsibility. First, the wife should be a good cook. Secondly, she shouldn't expect too much and complain too much. And last, she should have her own hobby, being able to enjoy life and take care of her husband and the children and the child, even in difficult situations. Then she told a story of a 35-year-old woman with ordinary education and appearance. This woman has a husband who is a successful and handsome businessman. When other women around her envy her for her good luck, Julie explains, this is because she had three abilities listed above. Once, when she was aware that her husband was having an affair with a woman, she pretended to know nothing and led her life as usual. So the affair ended after a while. So in the name of helping women protect their marriage and family, we can see the revival of the old theme, popular in a male-centered society, which teaches women to win their husbands, relying on their womanly virtue. The next one is female workers, class and gender operation. Well, first, there is very little information in the Four Women page, which is catered to female workers. But I only found this is the only theory report I can find. So since this is the only report I got, I cannot be sure my conclusion based on the single report is very valid. But this is just my impression. Most of this Well, this report focused on a city close to Hong Kong, where a large number of factories produce consumer goods exported to international markets. Most of those factory workers were migrants from other provinces, and over 80% of them were women. Dongguan factories mainly manufacture electronic products, toys, and garments. Since the 1980s, rural girls have flown to the city from inland provinces. According to the head of Dongguan branch of Guangdong Women's Rights Protection Association, over 60% of rural girls plan to return home for marriage or setting up their own business after a number of years. Some of them have found a marriage partner setting down in Dongguan, Guangdong. And a very large number of young women live with young men in spite of their final goal of returning home. Traditional concept of female premarital chastity seems to have little impact on those young women. In addition, they need male help to deal with practical as well as emotional needs. So now, today's China, the young women, there is a great gender gap, the age gap. The young women think about things very differently from the older women. So in Dongguan, because the small number of male workers in Dongguan, a male may have two or even more girlfriends at the same time. In addition, some women are sole or main breadwinner of the family, and the young girls support their boyfriends with their earnings at the factory. The report said the reality is men may not be able to find a job here, but female workers need a male partner. So in Dongguan, the tradition of polygamy and anti-traditional practice of male economic dependency have coexisted and accepted as a norm. However, in contrast to university students' materialism and calculating, factory women's story display the bitterness and indignity that globalization has brought to them. More important, those stories show working women's struggle for independence and dignity that is downplayed in today's China. Well, I select three stories. Talk about this is this woman called Wei Siyi. She came to her name is not real. She came to Dongguan when she was only 16 years old. A few years later, she married a male co-worker, 7 years of her senior. Then she gave birth to a daughter and a son in 1999. Her husband accidentally made a small fortune, and they both quit factory work, starting their own business. At first, their business was good. A couple of years later, business got very slow, and her husband became addicted to gambling. He lost the business finally, and Wei returned to factory work and later became manager assistant. Her husband, however, did not want to work again and rely on Wei's support. In 2005, he had an affair with another woman. Wei sued for divorce. Now, Wei works hard to support her two children who are under the care of her in-laws and her own parents. We told the interviewer that she has suitors now because of her position, but she said, "I don't trust those men. My former husband has hurt me bad. I swear I will try to live well, rely on my hard work, and hopefully can find a man who has true feelings for me." Well, this one is another woman, is Li Hua. She came to Dongguan, similar to Wei. She came to Dongguan when she was a teenager. Also similar to Wei, she married to a co-worker who was several years older. But Li's marriage didn't fail. However, she has her own worries. When the couple got married, they were both assembly line workers. In 2002, her husband was promoted to the post of shop floor head. Now, he is in charge of a department of the factory and earns a wage 3 times of hers. Her husband continually treats her well, but Li worries about the distance between her husband and her because of the marriage failure of her best friend. Her friend is the same to her, married to a co-worker, but when the husband got promotion and she remained as assembly line worker, her husband dumped her. So her friend's life just makes Li afraid of the same tragedy. She said, in order to catch him up, I came to work a half hour earlier and leave work a half hour late. I make efforts to learn skills that only males have mastered. I hope to get promotion so that I could be equal to my husband. Well, next. Well, several working women have turned to writing after her urban dream being crushed by cruel reality of factory work. They post their works online and pioneered a new literary genre, working girl literature. They write to give a voice to the millions of rural women who have devoted their youth to China's economic takeoff. Well, this is a woman who called Fang Yiluo. She came to Dongguan at the age of 20. She worked for different manual jobs before becoming the assistant to board of directors of a Japanese-owned electronic factory. Her monthly wage increased greatly, and also she has a much better working condition, which allowed her time to write. In 2005, her novel, The Lives of Dongguan Working Girls, became to appear online. Very soon, her novel attracted a quite large number of readers. But Fang was not happy about her new position. She said, as soon as I became the assistant to the board of directors, I changed my stance. I have to say and do things that hurt workers, that hurt workers' interests. Fang read about her personal experience in her novel. In 2007, Fang had to quit her position because her boyfriend involved in a strike against the management. Then she returned to work on the assembly line in a toy factory. Her writing career made a downturn as well. Her novel posted online was banned. The large portion of her writing was refused by publishers on the grounds that her writing has touched sensitive issues. She said, I know it's difficult for me to publish what I have written, but I will continue writing. I'm writing a history that cannot be forgotten. A couple of working girl writers are luckier than Fang. They changed their personal life, became editors, became general editors with a stable income. But the working girl literature seemed to have very little impact on the migrant workers who work in factories. A survey has demonstrated over 70% of workers never read nor heard about the literary works. Working girls, generally, they don't belong to the internet population in China, and they don't have much time to read. So now, this is the conclusion. So the four women webpages and the paper shows could be seen as extension of printed material. They don't provide a visual world for women to voice their independence, to challenge a male-centered society. But those webpages have their distinguished features. Number one, the women, in comparison with the tabloid press and the general urbanite readers, online women pages are catered to female university students and white-collar office workers only. This generation of young women are the online buyers of those numerous cosmetic and clothing products and garment products, which are advertised online. So these women grow up in a culturally pluralist society in which reviving traditions peacefully coexist with Western lifestyle. Those young women enjoy a freedom over their looks, their body, and their personal life. That was unheard about in Mao Zedong's China. Post-reformist China, however, is also a rapidly commercialized society where person's value is mainly measured by their material gains. The numerous online advertisements aimed at young urban women as potential customers, and meanwhile they are trying to turn women's body and look into consumer goods and turn women into sexual objects. By emphasizing the significance of a charming face and a slender figure, those pages state, with beauty as natural capital and a post-secondary education as dowry, educate young women a high-priced commodity, both in the marriage market and the job market. In addition, womanly virtues are important for a successful marriage. Number two, in comparison with printed material, website is an open space allowing people to voice their opinion without much restrictions. Authors of online articles are often anonymous or with a fake name. Photo of one person may show someone else's face. The online page, therefore, could be seen as a cyberspace with elusive and fictive elements. The openness and freedom to a certain extent allowed the web designers to create, invent, and fabricate information and images conforming to their and internet users' social values, tastes, and business interests. So through those web pages, what you see is a China which for the young people want to see, and the young people live. It's not for the other age. They are mainly the urban young people, urban young women or young men. So we may view those women page as a defective mirror whose reflection of the society is somewhat twisted, and the designers are trying to increase the number of users, guide users, and meanwhile attract advertisement. In comparison with printed material, the online media enjoy a large room to maneuver due to its openness and freedom. Well, next one. The rural workers have neither money or time, no time to navigate online. The huge amount of information provided by women pages is not tailored for factory women. The coverage of Donggan working girls demonstrate the working women among all groups of Chinese women seem to follow Mao Zedong's concept of gender equality most closely, seeing economic equality as crucial to an equal gender relationship. I'm not certain about this conclusion. This just based on this report. Then the last one, unsuccessful efforts of working girl writer Fang Yiluo to publish her novel about rural women's exploitation and operation and the online threats she suffered show in today's China, political censorship exists along with social cultural pluralism. Well, in China, well, I'm not sure if you see the. Well, I'm sure you know that in this year, the Nobel Prize, Peace Prize, was awarded to a Chinese intellectual who were very active in the Tiananmen Square demonstration in 1989, and now because something she tried to organize organization, and he was sentenced for 10 years, over 10 years prison term. So And right before the Nobel Prize, the news came out, the Chinese online, all those pages blocked all the news about this issue, about this thing. So that is the political, as long as in China, as long as you don't say anything against government, I'll try to organize some organization to oppose government, you are fine. You can live your life any way you want, most likely. Okay, thank you. This is my presentation. Yeah, there's any questions? Anything you can ask.
I don't know if this works. Yeah, it seems to. Shanning, can you tell me, first of all, what is the population balance between rural and urban in China now?
Oh,
I mean, it's become much more urban, but how much?
It's about 60 to 65 population live in the rural region. The peasants live in the rural region.
Still two-thirds are still rural.
Yes, yeah. And there is a huge floating population. It's about how many million? 100 million of people. They came to work. They are peasants. They don't have official identification card of residence in city. They just came to work in the city and they go back to, finally, I think eventually they will return to, like the women working Guangdong, Dongguan, the factory girls. They are rural women, but now they work in the factories.
Your statistics then must suggest that the internet is actually fairly pervasive in rural China as well as urban, because if 50% or 45% or something of women are internet users, presumably a fair proportion of those are rural Chinese.
No, they are not rural, they are urban, because the...
But if you've got two-thirds in the...
The users,
yeah,
the very
few... If you've got two-thirds of the population in the rural areas, and 45% of women are users, then some at least must be in rural areas, right?
Well, some, but not many. Because even mail, in China, the internet, the cost is quite expensive. They cannot afford.
Okay, then. But then, even... Yeah, okay. What proportion of Chinese people have internet then?
It's only that according to the 2009, China has a total 38 million internet users. That's how many.
And what percentage is that?
That's percentage. I'm not sure what it is. No, I cannot calculate. But even for the most, the what is the percentage? Now we have the 1.3 billion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Population. I don't know. Do you know what is the percentage? 300?
No, it sounds like something like 20.
20%?
20 or 25, somewhere.
Okay, that most of the...
Okay, so my argument falls then. I had the wrong stat in mind.
Yeah, and even for the 82, over 80% of the users are the people under 35. Not too many older people get online, but young people, they live online.
Do you think your female factory workers use online at all?
Well, very few, there are some, but not many.
Would they read periodicals, printed periodicals that are similar in content to these online fashion periodicals that you've been analyzing?
Well, they're more likely to read those printed material,
yeah.
I believe.
And you've seen that sort of thing, right, when you've been
in China? Right. Yes.
Does it have the same basic sort of set of values? And
Oh, yes. Very similar. Though the printer, the tabloid, right? Mm. The small, like you
very,
can see.
I mean, it seemed quite Western to me in orientation.
Yes.
You know, I would have just assumed that something aimed at lower class females in at least rural China wouldn't have been so overtly Western yet, but I'm probably wrong. The change has been very rapid.
Yeah, I didn't do too much research on this topic, but according to, the factory girls, right, they're working in Dongguan, seems those traditional, they are very young, mostly they were under 30 years old. The seems those traditional concepts about the premarital chastity seems doesn't mean much to them. They very easily they can live together. They live together and they just separate. Then they go back to when they go home. They marry again. They don't care about those things now. Mm-hmm. Among the young people, they no longer care so much. And so in China, there is a very huge gap, age gaps. Yeah, well, Jingsheng knows. She is our generation. We are the same generation, right? We are, she's a few years younger than I am, but we grew up in the Cultural Revolution. We have very different, we see things very different from the, even 30s, from the people in 30s. Well, it seems we are different generation. Do you agree? Right. Well, they don't care about politics so much. They don't care. Right. Well, I think they worry about country too, because the country, the rural uprising or the unrest have different causes quite often from the city people's unrest or opposition. In the country, before there are so many, in the Jiang Zemin and the regime, right, the Jiang Zemin, his development strategy laid great emphasis on the city, coastal cities, and the foreign shift, try to do the business, join WTA. And right now is, however, at that time, the peasants, their life was, they couldn't make much money because the price of the rural products is, go up very slow, and the income for the peasants in comparison with the work with the urban people's income, the gap is between larger and larger. So there are many unrest in the rural area because of their land. Number one, because their land was occupied by those developers who build the huge buildings and this is number one reason. Another one is the agricultural tax. They believe the tax is very high. So there is a lot of oppositions. Then right now the current Hu Jintao and the Wen Jiabao regime, they lay more emphasis on develop the underdeveloped Western China. So I believe they abolished all the agricultural tax. So, however, in the city, but the peasants, I believe the peasants' opposition is not so closely related to the politics. they relate to, well, economic factors. But in China, is the internet, well, like Liu, this one, who win the Nobel Prize and some democratic parties, well, they have contact with the foreign dissident, those groups. Well, they got they were influenced by the Western ideas. So seems, well, my answer is, in rural region, maybe the present opposition is have little to do with the internet, with not much to do with the internet. They are very closely, directly related to their living standard. Did I answer your question, Greg? Well, but right now it's not so many rural population have access to internet because in China, the fee for the for internet service is much higher than here. Well, I just feel that the parents they worry. Now the gap between urban income and the rural income, the gap growing bigger and bigger. They just worry about their living standard. Mm-hmm.
Who actually provides the internet service? Is it a government?
Yes, the government, those big, in China now the biggest, the providers, the internet providers, yeah, belong to the government. What is the state-owned enterprise? Yes.
And that's the only one?
Well, there are a few, I believe. There are a few providers, but not too many.
But they're all government?
Yeah,
control.
I may not correct, but I believe so. The government control. Government can quite effectively block the news from the West, from outside. Even for Google, try to stay in China, they have to make agreement they have to make concessions. Yeah. To the Chinese government. Otherwise, the government shut you off. Well, you cannot stay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yep. Very good point. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, well, Alice want me to repeat what Jingfeng said because online people cannot hear her. What she said is in China because there are one regime, right? There are no oppositional parties exist. Well, there are some other parties, but they don't play. They cannot be the real oppositional parties. Well, so they basically have the final say. And not only in China, actually in some other East Asian countries like Singapore, the government is much more powerful than the government here. Which I don't know. This is a different model, different development model. The government, to a larger extent, to participate in the economic development. Well, so the many scholars argue that's why in East Asian countries, economy can grow so fast. Oh, why? Well, because here is maybe because the market control, only market. Why? Right? Too much democracy. Democracy. You see, how to balance the democracy and government control?
How does Hong Kong figure into the internet issue, though? Is there Chinese government control of the internet in Hong Kong now?
I don't have the answer to your question. Before Hong Kong went back to China, right? Hong Kong is is different under British. And the British pursue a policy which is give Hong Kong people a lot of freedom. They don't bother Hong Kong people much, interfere much. They like the market to manipulate, to grow. Well, then Hong Kong went back to China. Hong Kong now still has separate political system. But in terms of internet control, I'm not sure. I will do more research. Then later I can answer your question.
Is there freedom of mobility of labor between Hong Kong and the rest of China? Or is there?
Well, actually in Hong Kong, even under British rule, the union was not active in Hong Kong either. Union is not really, the government didn't encourage people to organize union, and welfare is not much, social welfare either. The government just,
But I mean, can people move from Hong Kong
to China?
China and back and
forth? Even now, well, I don't think there is freedom. You can move from China to, no. And you have to get a job in Hong Kong first. There is no freedom to move between Hong Kong and, otherwise many people go to Hong Kong, right? Yeah. Right, she said gave Hong Kong, doesn't control Hong Kong so closely because they want to use Hong Kong as a showcase. So convince people those one country, two system works. And so in the future, the Taiwan maybe, became another Hong Kong. But it's highly unlikely, in my opinion. Well, Taiwan is a different, have different, many different characteristics. Right. Any more questions? You have to turn on the...
Okay. The novel, The Working Girls of Dong Wan, what about it caused the government to ban it? What was radical in this novel?
Well, the report didn't give the content of the novel. However, I believe she just said how there is a lot of the exploitation. And also the factory workers, I read some other books. Well, the factory girls, they work under very harsh, quite harsh conditions. Only the urban people cannot take those. Only rural people can take those. For instance, quite often the manager can just ask the workers to pay a deposit in case they don't want their leave. So if they didn't finish the contract, if they want to leave, well, then they keep the manager, keep the deposit, and also quite often the factory or the employer don't pay the wage on time. They don't pay the wage on time. So they delay. That is a huge problem. And all those things, and the newspaper also show in people, they were tortured, the workers were tortured because there is a young technician work for a Taiwanese factory. It's a computer factory. He jumped off of the building. He committed suicide because when the management of the factory suspect him to leak some information on a new product to other companies, then they kept him under custody and tortured him. Then he just couldn't handle those. That's quite often there are the practice against actually the human rights. We agree. But however, what do you say? If you let the women, the rural peasants stay in the rural region, they make very little money. However, when they work in Dongguan, at least they make quite good, relatively good income. They can send money back to support their families back in the country. But there are many those things, very, against the human rights or some bad things. And I suspect Hanover may tell those things.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is this novel still available online?
I don't think so. I never see it. I couldn't find it.
Mm.
Any more questions? No.
Thanks, Xinling. All right, thank you.